Good evening, one and all, or good morning, depending on where you are. Welcome to our midweek church service. Greetings to those listening on the phone or those joining us on the recording. And what a wonderful time to be alive, and also a very solemn time, a time in which we should be more on our knees as we see the signs of the times revealing that the coming of our Lord draweth nigh. Good to have you with us tonight, dear ones. And our opening song is Stand Up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are Christ now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength.
Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer. Where calls the voice of duty, be never wanting there.
Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. We're promised that if we confess Christ before men, that he will confess our name before the Father, meaning we have everlasting life. So indeed, stand up for Jesus. Lift high his royal banner. Don't let it trail in the dust. The truth will indeed gain the victory. And if the truth lives in your heart out of love for Jesus, then you will ride to victory with it. It's now time for opening prayer, and who would like to offer that for us tonight?
Dear Father in heaven, as we are worshiping together this day, we thank you that we do have the privilege of worshiping together and for the joy that brings us. And we thank you too for bringing us safely through another week since we had our last Bible study together, and for all the many, many blessings we have received since then. we each have individual things for which we give thanks, Lord. Some of us for improved health for ourselves and our loved ones. Some of us for material blessings, things that we truly need. Sometimes for travel mercies and maybe just an improvement in the weather. No request is too small for us to ask you, dear Lord. You are always there to listen, and you so often grant our desires when they are in accordance with your will. When our wishes are not in accordance with your will, we ask you to please give us the wisdom to understand the reason for this and to never, never lose faith because you have not acceded to these wishes as we had hoped. There are so many others we wish to pray for, Father, people who need your special guidance, your protection, your loving arms around them. Many of us think of our family members, our friends and our work colleagues who are in this situation, and we pray especially that we may witness to them of your power and blessings in our lives, but by the very way we live our lives day by day. We thank you too for your teachings that will be open to us this day, and may you guide our dear Elder Rob as he presents this for our instruction. And as we discuss, please help us in our understanding, which we hope and pray will bring us closer to you and to one another. As always, dear God, we ask, as we know we can, for you to forgive us our sins, great and small, known and unknown, sins of commission and omission, even sins of thought. And we are continually filled with gratitude in the knowledge that our sins will always be forgiven, provided that we are truly repentant. In conclusion, dear Father, we ask a blessing on this gathering. May the Holy Spirit be with us. We thank you for listening, and we ask in the name of your blessed Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I just want to add to this that we are grateful that Brother Willington can join. Can you please help his connection be strong? So, and all of us for that matter, we love technology. It's so good when it works, and we just ask your blessing on top of that, and also the outage likelihood where storms are occurring in relation to your work going forward, that it would be either held off or some other blessing would be our brethren and sisters in such in the face of storms. Thank you for watering the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you so much. Continuing in the book of Acts, chapter 3, we left off at verse 9. And what we were discussing last time before we ended our study time was that Peter and John had gone to the temple and had seen an individual there that was lame, that was begging for money. And Peter was impressed by the Spirit to go up to the man and to tell him to look on them, which he did. And he said, I don't have any money to give you, but I do have something more precious to give you. And then he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And then Peter, to help encourage the man's faith, reached out his hand, grabbed his, and began to lift him up. And that was all that that man needed to exercise faith to try and stand. And when he did so, he was immediately healed. And it wasn't like you see in the movies or videos about this particular event that he sort of, you know, begrudgingly stood and then took baby steps here and there and all of a sudden it got stronger and stronger and then he could run. No, he was immediately healed and he began walking and then jumping in the air because of his great excitement and joy at what God had done for him. And he went into the temple with Peter and John and was praising God and leaping and, you know, And I imagine running all around just praising God and also being overjoyed at the ability to no longer be sitting down, but mobile. And our miracle-working God is still alive today. But a lot of times, I say the majority of times, the miracles are performed under the cover of simple remedies. God can still miraculously heal, just like he did with this lame man. But God chooses to still perform miracles, but through the simple remedies of the herbs and the water treatments, etc., that he's given information and knowledge to his people how to use. So our miracle-working God is still working miracles. And it's all by faith in Jesus Christ being the mighty physician. So that's where we ended last time, and now we pick it up at verse 9. Well, let's read down through 11 as well. So 9 through 11. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So here the miracle was performed for this one individual, but it caused such an excitement and curiosity among all the people that were there at the temple during that time that they all came together into one place. And since the healed man was, you know, holding Peter and John, you know, like a brotherly hug, thank you, then all eyes were focused on them. So you can see that the miracle that God performed was not just to benefit the lame man with health, but it was also used as a way to evangelize the people there at the temple. Are there any other thoughts before we continue?
Beginning 3:12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Yea, men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. And he denied the Holy Spirit, the Holy One, and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Verse 3:16 last, and his name through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yet the faith which is by him, given him this perfect soundness in the presence of all of you. Amen.
Amen. So we see Peter here giving all the glory to God for this miracle that had been performed. He took no credit to himself whatsoever. And Peter stood up for Christ. It would have been very easy for Peter to say, look at what I did. Yes, you know, you need to exalt me and praise me. But no, Peter stood up for Christ, not for himself. And he plainly told the people that it was through faith in the name of Jesus Christ that made this man whole. And it was that same Jesus Christ that they, the Jews that were there, delivered up to Pilate and demanded that Pilate put him to death, even though Pilate wanted to let him go. But God raised Christ up, and it was through faith in the name of this risen Savior that this lame man that they all knew was made whole. So very similar to what Peter had brought before the Jews in chapter 1. You know, that, hey, you killed Jesus Christ, you're all murderers of him, and there's going to be trouble because of it. And so they said, well, what shall we do? We don't want this man's blood on our hands. And he said, repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. So it's a very similar message that Peter is delivering here. Only this time it wasn't the miracle of the Holy Spirit being poured out in tongues, but it was the miracle of this man being healed. So you can see that God is involved in blessing individuals, and in turn, those blessed individuals are used to reach out to others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the goodness of God towards them. And that's exactly what the scripture says. When God does something great for us, we're to give him praise, and this praise is to be made public. Psalms 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. So when God blesses us, we are in turn to give him glory in public, give our testimony, witness for him, and be joyful for what he has delivered us from, or healed us from, or answered our prayers in. Give him praise and glory for the miracle that he has wrought in our lives. That's true. Peter could have said, make me pope. But he did not do that. He uplifted the Savior. And that's what we need to do as well.
Wonderful grace is here manifested in Peter's life. Before Christ was crucified, had this have happened, perhaps things would be a little bit different. But how the change, the power of God upon a man who wants to be changed and give up his sins to give God the glory.
Amen. And God will give each one of his people precious opportunities for giving him glory, for uplifting him before humanity as the only one worthy of their love and adoration in a religious sense. and he will do marvelous things for them, just as the scriptures reveal God doing marvelous things for his people when they put their faith, hope, and trust in him. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments?
Don't we love the Christian faith? It's very literal how that man got well. It wasn't magic. It wasn't mysterious. Peter makes it quite plain. Why do you look on us so earnestly, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? And he explains how it occurred, that in his name, through faith in his name, this man is made strong.
And let me speak out. Maybe I would believe, and actually strongly believe, that whatever we do is the way God has prepared for that individual to give him glory. And in every circumstance that comes across us, whether through pain, we are to give God glory. Amen.
Amen. In everything give thanks. Glory to God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So here Peter's doing all the talking, and this man is pretty much remaining silent there. But as we continue down, God gives this healed man the opportunity to witness, even to those that Peter had a difficult time witnessing to. I mean, Peter stood up for himself, but the influence that he had was not as great as the influence that this common man had. And we'll find out as we continue here. Who would like to read verses 17 and 18?
And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, but did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, brother. So we see here that Peter was impressed to choose his words very carefully. He didn't rail upon the people saying, you know, you did this even though you knew that Jesus was innocent. You did this because you hated him, and may God have mercy on your souls. He gave them the benefit of the doubt. Ye did this through ignorance. You did not recognize what was taking place, as did also your rulers. Now, it wasn't every single ruler that was ignorant of what was going on. Peter was talking about the majority of the rulers, but Caiaphas and Annas knew exactly what they were doing. But Peter here is very careful in his language and giving them the benefit of the doubt. You did it ignorantly. You didn't know what was taking place, but yet you're still guilty of killing this man. But it was already written in the scriptures that this is exactly what would happen to the Messiah. And you fulfilled these scriptures, this prophecy, in killing Jesus Christ. So even though he was very tactful in how he brought it out, he still revealed the plain truth to them that they had killed their Messiah. Can you imagine looking at the faces of the individuals gathered there when Peter laid this bombshell of a truth on them? You're guilty of killing your Messiah. but God overturned your purpose, raised him from the dead, took him to heaven, and it was through his name that this man was made whole. Now, it's interesting here. Peter didn't leave it just at this point, like he did with the first time that he spoke there at Pentecost. He then continues here and tells them what they need to do in order to make this right with God. And who would like to read let's see. Let's go down to 22. So 19 to 22.
Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord.
Wow.
And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you.
Deuteronomy 18:50.
And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people.
Amen, and thank you. And I also saw that verse 23 needs to be put in there. So thank you for reading that, dear sister. So Peter then continues with the impression of the Spirit to just bring it forth very clearly to him. You need to repent. You need to be converted. You need to accept Christ as your Messiah, as your Savior from sins, and confess your sins to him so that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Blotted out at the end of the investigative judgment. So the blotting out of sin occurs during the times of refreshing, just before the coming of Christ. And we know that there's only two ways in which we can be saved. One is we're sealed with the seal of the living God while we still live. And we know that 144,000 will be sealed that way. Or we can be sealed with the seal of the living God when we die in Jesus Christ. So there's only two ways that we can be saved. One is to be saved in Christ at death, and the other is to be saved in Christ while we still live. And when our sins are forgiven by Christ, they're still recorded there in our heavenly books. They're not erased from the book, but pardon is put next to those sins because we've asked Christ in faith to forgive us those sins, and he has. So pardon is written next to those forgiven sins, but they're not erased from the book yet. They're not blotted out from our record. We have to continue in Christ. When we accept Christ, we've started that gospel race towards eternal life. We haven't finished. If we die in Christ, then our sins are completely forgiven us, blotted out at the end of the investigative judgment. If we continue in Christ and reach perfection of Christian character through the grace and strength of Christ, making ourselves ready as His bride. When our probation closes, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and Christ says, "He that is righteous still," then our sins are blotted from our book at that point while we still live, and then the plagues begin to fall. So this means that if we apostatize after accepting Christ before our probation closes, then Christ no longer will cover our sins with His blood because we've rejected Him. And even though we've asked Him to forgive our sins in the past, pardon was written next to those sins. When we reject the Savior, that pardon comes off, and now all of those sins remain against our names. That's what people don't understand. Christ had a parable where a king called in one of his servants and said, "You owe me 50,000 pieces of silver. I want you now to pay me." So his debt was extremely large. And he says, I don't have anything to pay you. Give me time and I'll try to raise the money." And he said, "But have mercy on me." And the king said, "Okay, I forgive your debt. I'm willing to have mercy on you." So the man was forgiven. He was pardoned of that huge debt that he couldn't pay. But then this same man went out and he had a servant that owed him 50 pieces of silver. Well, 50 cents actually. 50 pence instead of 50 pieces of silver. And he didn't have anything to pay. And the forgiven man said, "Well, I want it now." And the guy said, "Well, have mercy on me. I don't got it." And he delivered him to the jailer until his friends and family could come up with the 50 cents in order to pay his debt. Well, news got back to the king on what his forgiven servant had done. And so the king called that forgiven servant back in and said, "I had mercy on you and forgave you 50,000 pieces of silver, and you could not have the same kind of mercy on someone that only owed you 50 cents? And then the king withdrew his forgiveness of the man's debt, and the man had to pay everything back, all 50,000 pieces of silver. So the debt was not yet erased from his record book. It was not yet blotted out. It was just forgiven, but had not yet been blotted from the record book. It's the same with us. If we've accepted Christ and asked Him to forgive our sins, He's done so. But those sins are not yet blotted out of our record book until at the end of the investigative judgment. And if before that time we give up Christ, then He no longer pardons our sin, and we have to suffer for each one. So Peter says, you have a lot of sins on your head, especially for killing the Messiah. So repent and remain converted, so that when the end comes, then you can have all your sins blotted out and not have to suffer for them, because Christ has pardoned you. And when He comes, then He will give you the reward of eternal life. Peter goes on to say that Christ at the right time is going to come down from heaven and gather his people together and restore unto them, which we know to be the new earth. We're in the last days just before the end comes, just before the times in which our sins are blotted out. Now is not the time to give up the Savior. It's a time to make sure your calling and election are secured, to stand up for Jesus regardless of the cost. So Peter is speaking some really powerful words here that the Spirit impressed him to speak. He's not beating around the bush. I mean, even though he was very tactful in the way he brought it forth, he's very clear and to the point in what he's saying, so that there's no possible, way that people could misunderstand what he's saying. Every soul that doesn't hear that prophet referring to Jesus Christ will be destroyed. But everyone who repents and remains converted to the Lord will have their sins completely forgiven and removed forever from the record. And they'll be restored to all things holy that God made in the beginning. So he presented life and death to them. There was no neutral ground. There was no gray area that he left for the people to ponder over. It was truth. And the people could reject it and have darkness, or they could accept it and be saved. Now, Peter continues on here, and sometimes the Spirit continues to impress you with things to say, so that if someone is wavering between accepting or rejecting, the little extra that is said can make all the difference to them in deciding for the truth instead of wavering or rejecting it. And we'll find out what more Peter says next time. And we'll pick it up at verse 24 next Wednesday. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any testimonies, anything else you'd like to share, dear ones?
Is that any better? Can you just give us a yes if you can hear me now?
Praise the Lord. That's
great. Yes, okay, thank you. I just wanted to say that last Sabbath, I think it was, I shared with you the lovely short time I had with that dear lady whose name was Meredith in the pharmacy, that we discovered we both loved the Lord and we were so happy to discuss that with one another. I haven't yet heard from her, which doesn't worry me. I think eventually she will. But would you please just keep remembering us in your prayers? I'd love to hear from her. I can make contact with her. But the way things turned out, it would be better if she made the first move, I think. So I'm just asking you to please remember us. Thank you.
Perhaps I should mention it now. I think Elder Bob, you asked how things were last Sabbath with SDA churches. We tried to fit two in. We were hoping to fit three in. And the dear reformers, like so many other churches, they just don't all go in at the exact time, so I had to hang around for 20 minutes before they went into their church, and there was a bit of disruption, so I only got one church, and that was the SDA Reform Movement. It's a small church. I thought they wouldn't take long, but it turned out we went to the next SDA church, but there was 120 cars, and I said to Liz, I'm going to get caught in the act, because it was about 50 minutes or 30 minutes away from where we were going. So I was just hoping to, so we're just going to hit one church at a time. You like that? Hit one church at a time? Doesn't sound so good. We're just going to visit one church at a time. But this church, the SDA Reform Movement, two individuals responded. one's a preacher who's sent some things why he continues to be a Reform Movement member and cannot and refuses to call the SDA Church Babylon and fallen. And so we're talking about Christ's nature together. And the other is what is her name? Faye, who happened to ring actually while we were in prayer meeting, and I let her know that that's why I asked, could we talk at 9? But she texted, yeah, 9's okay. She texted at 10 o'clock, 9's okay. So that was funny. But I'm hoping to go out today, door to door, or letterbox to letterbox, and then door to door for the non-junk, no junk mail doors, because they don't like you putting stuff in their letterbox, and I'm looking forward to that. But I'm keeping these people in prayer. One is Gerson, and the other is Sister Faye.
Oh, praise the Lord. And that's kind of interesting that a Reformed Church member refuses to call the Adventist Church Babylon, because that was the whole reason that the Reformed Church split off from the Adventist Church, was because of the Babylon issue. You know, there with during World War I, where the Adventist leadership in Europe united with Germany in making war there on the other nations. And they were encouraging Adventists to join into the war, to fight for the fatherland or the fatherland. And that's the whole reason why the Reform movement came about. And they recognized the church was Babylon, definitely a church uniting with the state and encouraging its own members to take up arms. So maybe the Reformed Church members there in Australia have forgotten the whole reason why their movement came about in the first place. But it definitely a point that you can enlighten them on, as far as not so much their own history, but the proof of the Adventist Church giving up the three angels' messages and definitely accepting the false doctrines of the fallen churches. So we'll definitely be keeping, you know, the brother in prayer, as well as Sister Faye, that they'll come to understand the truth more, and all the other individuals that receive those precious leaves of autumn or booklets or materials, so that they may be converted. Indeed. And also we'll be praying that hearts will be prepared for receiving the materials that you'll be going door to door on, or going up to their home and talking to them on the Spirit, opening their hearts to receive the precious seeds of truth. Are there any other thoughts, any other prayer requests before we open it up? Please feel free. Well, let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And if you could please bow your heads and your knees, and whoever would like to pray, please feel free to do so. But let us bow our heads and knees. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so very much for awaking us from sleep and bringing us out of darkness into thy marvelous light of truth. Thank you, dear Savior, for forgiving our sins and putting pardon next to these confessed and forsaken sins. And I pray, dear Savior, that you will help us not to go back to those sins, but instead to stand up against them and to follow thee. Please help us to be converted each day, that we may be growing in grace and in the knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus, and indeed maturing more and more until were able to reach the finish line. Whether we die in the Lord or whether we receive the seal while we still live, help us to become that mature man, woman, or child in Jesus Christ and be able to give him as much glory as is possible in this wicked world. I pray, dear Father, that you'll be with all of those who have requested prayers, especially be with our dear brother and sister in their evangelistic work, and prepare hearts to respond favorably to the truth. Please prevent the devil from doing anything to bring about distraction or barriers to the truth, but please, Spirit, go beforehand and remove the barriers and open the hearts to receive the message of salvation that they so desperately need for just such a time as this. Please protect our dear brother and sister in their work. And thank you so much for doing so. And please bring about an abundant harvest of precious souls through their efforts to the enlarging of your kingdom and glorifying of your name. Please also be with those that have requested prayers for healing, whether mental, physical, or spiritual. And thank you so much for doing so, as well as those requesting silent prayers. And Father, please help each and every one of your followers to understand the truth. Remove shackles from eyes. Eliminate preconceived ideas and opinions so that the truth as it is in Jesus may be clearly discerned and comprehended, and that all preconceived ideas and opinions, all custom and tradition, will be left by the wayside, that Jesus and the truth might instead be followed and lived. Thank you so much for shutting Satan out and letting Jesus come in. Thank you for thy merciful kindness and for this great plan of salvation. And help us to stand for Jesus regardless of the cost. In thy precious name we pray. Amen.
Loving Father in heaven, thank you once again for bringing us through another week, for allowing us to meet together online and offline to rejoice in the truth. Thank you for inspiring Luke to write this account of Peter. It's very encouraging to us. It gives us hope. In Jesus, we cannot go wrong. We want to understand that better by practical living, and we would love to grow as quickly as possible, because the work, the world is covered by darkness, gross darkness to people, and we're really excited that there are multitudes of souls out there that are rejoicing like us, but don't have the present truth yet, but will receive it. Thank you for the privilege of entrusting this to us. It's such a high trust. I pray it won't wane. I pray our desire to reach out only grows stronger as we see more signs fulfilling all around us. And when people say, what's the world coming to? We can say in truth, an end. By Jesus' second coming in the clouds of heaven. I want to uphold a dear fellow that we have known for some time, especially Sister Lucy, John Capitan, who's suffering prostate cancer. Please help him get the necessary care. He's far away from us, and we don't know if he's a believer, but he's from a Christian nation, the dear Papua New Guinea. we pray that he would find in you, Jesus, now in his hour of great need, a solace, somewhere to rest his weary soul, to look forward not in fear to the future, but with hope, because he's become familiar with your character, if he's not already familiar, and if he is familiar, to be encouraged to continue because he's suffering. Please continue to work with Brother Jim and his hopes of finding information about the regrowth of cartilage in his knee. Please continue to help Sister Ida and family find that perfect home that you would have them live in next, that perfect place suited. Please continue to help those dear brothers and sisters that are taking the steps, one step at a time, to live in the country as well, who love the idea of getting closer to nature. Thank you that we can go into cities and then come back out for those who do have country dwellings. We ask that you would impart to us a desire to forgive others freely and quickly, that you'll continue this work in us because we are so abundantly pardoned, and that the glory would go to you for us forgiving others, that it won't be because of us or because we're loving, but because when we're asked, we can say, because God has forgiven me for Christ Jesus' sake. We uphold dear Brother Gerson and Sister Faye that their minds would be open to seriously consider their position in the world, their consideration of what church they are a part of, and that the next step will be led by you. Please help brethren and sisters. There's so many different ways evangelization is going on, Father. Please help them all know the power of Christ's resurrection in their life to make sure work of what you've committed to their hands. I uphold Sister Michelle's suggestion. We wish that there were individuals who, in the multitude of churches that are just here, that are in all the places of the world, especially, you know, non-communist places where there are multitudes and multitudes, we would indeed, if it's good in your sight, to have membership lists, to have their addresses, to have their contact details. We would love to get them. We know they're not something people part with lightly, except that they too are convicted of the present truth and have access to it. And we pray when that time comes, we'll use it aright. You've already blessed other brothers and sisters to do the same, and they have had a marvelous success at drawing people out. Please continue to do so. We are grateful that Sister Lucy, just this week, she had a fall. And we're really glad she hasn't had to go to hospital over it. And pray that her healing will be full and complete, because that was really serious. It was a big fall, and we're grateful for you having an angel to guide that fall, as loud as it sounded. We appreciate it. Thank you, us, and thank you for protecting us from various things such as trees falling on our house. We have one ourselves here. I can only imagine what other brothers and sisters have, especially when storms hit, for preserving us, for protecting us, because it can be certain death, and we don't deny the power of nature, how quickly things can change. We want to dwell on your goodness, Jesus. We want to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and get rid of all types of self and have pardon written against every single sin and believe to even live in the sight of a holy God in humility. Please help us take the necessary steps to that end, whether we live or die, to live or die to the Lord. Thank you for hearing and answering the prayers of your dear servants right around the world. Continue to strengthen them with the hope that's in Christ Jesus, that we've been taught, some of us, from a child, and others perhaps just a year ago, or a couple of days ago. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, this hymn comes to mind, and why don't we close on this hymn, Bringing in the Sheaves. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Sowing in the sunshine,
sowing in the shadows,
fearing neither clouds,
nor
winter's chilling breeze. By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves,
bringing in the sheaves.
We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves,
bringing in the sheaves.
We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master, though the loss sustained our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, He will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing them in to Jesus Christ. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Have a wonderful remaining evening or remaining part of the day. And may God bless you in your walk with Him and in your sharing of faith with others to bring them to Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord of the harvest is ready, and the harvest is taking place now. So may God bless, dear ones, and keep looking up, for indeed our redemption draweth nigh.